This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2006, and the week is progressing very well. On today's show, we have more chat with the gang. We have Mike Hip, Big Fatty, Sarah, Mark, and who else? Did I forget somebody? Anyway, we recorded two shows. Well, really, it was one long show. And I'm going to cut it into two shows, make it for today and tomorrow. This is part one. And we talk about all kinds of stuff, from television to politics to podcasting, everything. So listen to part one of More Chat with the Gang. Here we go.
Hey, Archer.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Oh.
We have Chef Mark with us and Big Fatty, too. Say hi, guys.
Hi, Big Fatty.
Everybody.
Hi, Chef Mark.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. I'm finishing up eating.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Stuff that pie hole.
Ooh. Grilled cheese and mushroom soup.
Oh, I seem to recall someone else who likes grilled cheese.
Hmm. I like grilled cheese.
Isn't Sarah on? She's not there?
It's ringing, but I don't think she's answering. She may not have. Okay. She may not have finished peeing on her microphone yet.
Oh! Peeing on her microphone. Now, do you guys put your grilled cheese in the oven or on top of the stove?
Oh, on the stove.
Mm.
Depends.
Or on a griddle. Oven.
Depends what kind of time I have.
If I have a griddle, that's the best.
Now, do you ever dip it in milk?
No.
Dip it in milk and eggs, and it gets a little crust on it?
I mean, so it's kind of like French toast.
Yeah, exactly. Without the sandwich? Sweetness. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A Monte Cristo kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like a Monte Cristo.
Oh, I never heard of that.
The Count of Monte Carlo.
But the mushroom soup was from that Campbell Select line. Have you ever heard of that?
Did John Lithgow really come sing in your living room?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that. That is, you know what? I've never told anybody this, but John Lithgow has been in my living room.
Oh, no way.
You lie.
No, I'm not
Campbell
lying.
Campbell Select on the label.
He is the one for Campbell Select, isn't he? No, back in the 80s, there was a movie. I have the DVD of it. He lived in this house, in my house. And they shot scenes in my house.
Oh, my gosh.
Was it Harry and the Hendersons?
No, it was way before that. He actually ran out my front door naked in this movie.
What was the movie?
I don't know the name of it.
Archer, you're such a pervert.
What is it called, John? Traveling Man, John said.
You're a pervert.
Traveling Man.
Never heard
what
of
did I just
man.
Walk in on?
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi. I tuned in and it was, and then he ran out my door naked.
And it was someone famous too.
What kind of podcast is this?
And we only talk about the dirtiest things on Archer Radio.
Excellent.
John Lithgow has been naked in my living room before. That's what we were talking about.
Well, I'm sure if he lived there, he's been naked all over your house.
Very possibly.
Okay. On the washing machine, in the bathroom.
Okay, you guys.
Don't need to think about John Lithgow that way.
We can talk about several different things, but I think all the participants on the show tonight are Survivor viewers and the Big Race viewers. Is that correct?
The yes. Big Run, the big as runs. The fat one would say.
Hello.
Hello.
And there he is.
Y'all have to excuse me. I'm just looking for the A train to see which is the final stop on it, so I'll know how to find Chef Mark.
All right.
Just yeah.
Go to the back.
207.
207.
Didn't you hear it in my podcast?
I did, but I forgot the number too.
Oh yeah, it's 207.
207 what?
207th Street. It's really, really high up in Manhattan.
It's as far up in Manhattan as you can be and still call it Manhattan.
That would be Inwood.
Exactly. Archer knows my line. That's my like little line.
Very
okay,
true.
Well, now
so,
it's called
now
Inwood.
I know
yeah.
Where I'm. And now I know where to look for you on the manhunts.
Uh-oh. You're going to look at my naked pictures on the manhunts, huh?
Are they unlocked?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Okay, I'll be back in a minute.
No! Okay, let's get to Survivor. Who watched it last week?
Oh, everybody did.
Yeah,
we
everybody
did,
watched
we did.
It.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Big Fatty, did you play that Amazing Race music on your show?
I did.
Oh, cool.
Rob Nelson Lindley gave the Survivor update, and
okay.
It was so loud you couldn't hear what Rob Nelson Lindley said.
Oh. Was he calling from, like, a nightclub?
No.
Wait, why is that funny?
That was so PNS, what he just said. No.
Okay.
They set it up and then, you know, just say the opposite of whatever for the tag.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, what do you think about the merges on Survivor?
So well, predictable.
I know, two episodes before they merged them, that's just crazy.
Same thing they did last year. Remember?
Yeah, wasn't it the same last year?
With the oldies and the youngies?
But do you like the way they mixed it up to make sure that they had a different ethnicity on each team?
Yeah, because the gay Latino chose the gay Asian.
I noticed that too.
First out of the gay. Actually, it was the other way around. The gay Asian chose the gay Latino. Yeah.
The gay Asian is cute.
Mm. Isn't he?
Yeah, isn't he?
He's the cutest.
I wanted to see that fat guy, the goth guy, get... you know, merged with the girl that he thought loved him and see what that happened there. That would have been good.
Oh, that would have been funny.
Now they
and did you see her reaction?
Too.
She was like so creeped out by it.
Right?
She was like, because she's like a total babe, right? And she's like,
hot, yeah.
Oh my God. Like, she's the vision of every weird, creepy guy who's ever hit on her too aggressively, like, ran across her eyes at that very moment. You know?
He was creepy. Archer, may I just change the subject 1 second?
Yes, please do, but just don't talk about a dead dog.
Right, no problem. Speaking of picking cute Asians, tell us about your weekend, Mark.
Whatever are you talking about?
Let's hear it. Spill it now.
I don't know. By now, Fatty's probably found him on the hunt.
No, I can't get on the hunt.
He's a cutie patootie Taiwanese boy that I've met before, and we had another little summit. We've worked out all the issues between the U.S. and Taiwan.
We had issues with Taiwan?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, he's a gorgeous cutie, like 8-pack abs. Oh my God. And I know, Mike, you have a thing about the abs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't seek them out. They just find me.
Mike, I like the flat stomach, too, whether there's muscles or not.
Yeah, you know, I get myself in trouble sometimes by saying things, but I just do it just to make you guys get riled up and start talking about
it. Well, see, I get your point, though. I think it's so bleh to actually, like, use that as a criteria. Like, that's ridiculous to use that as a criteria for if you're going to be interested in someone. That's just insane. But it's a good bonus, let me tell you. I did 5 loads of laundry.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
On his abs.
By the way,
what else did you do?
By the way, Mike Hipp, do you know Sarah? Sarah? And Sarah?
Oh, yes, we've spoken before on your show. Archer.
Okay.
I can't remember.
What kind of host are you?
Oh, I'm a terrible
but
host.
Thank you very much for being courteous and doing the introductions for us.
Okay.
Speak again, Mike Hipp.
Did you all know that Sarah does a podcast?
Oh, God.
How much do we love that podcast?
Uh-huh. And speaking of which, how much do we love herb-filled beanbags?
Oh.
My mom sent me this thing that, because I'm starting to come down with a cold. I'm getting that achy, breaky kind of feeling on my back that, like, is always the precursor of a change of season cold. And my mom had sent me this thing. I hadn't used it much. It's full of, like, bean stuff and lots of herbs, like lavender like nutritive herbs. And you throw, and it's shaped like in an arc shape. And it's all sewn up together. And you throw it in the microwave for a few minutes and it gets really hot. And then you, like, lay it on yourself or you lay on it or put it around your neck. And I'm sitting on it right now and it's really helping
me. That sounds like me.
Okay. Are you
sitting on it? Well, is it up in you or
oh my God, you guys are disgusting. No, meaning like I'm laying down on the sofa and it's underneath on my back. It's like a back aid.
Yes. I have one of those, a similar one. It's lavendery and delicious.
Does it smell good? Oh my God. Yes. It like gets all toasty because when you heat it up, it like toasts up the
it's got
the herbs.
Buckwheat shells or something in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, delicious. I had one of those like
the Sobakawa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really cushy pillows that had the buckwheat things in it.
It's that kind of stuff, but it has herbs in addition.
Herbs.
So if you take it with you on like a desert island, like to Survivor, you can season your octopus with it.
Oh, yum!
That's personal.
I couldn't believe that they just like they didn't show how they cooked it, but I'm sure that they just basically like burnt
it
on the fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's so many wonderful things that could be done with that octopus.
Well,
on
I
the
think
island,
they were
though?
Lacking the.
I think all they have is fire and sticks.
Right. They don't have the
actually.
Materials.
All you need is a rock. first you beat it against a rock and it tenderizes it really well. And then if you got any kind of acid to put on it, like any kind of citrus or anything, you just sprinkle a little bit on it and you put it onto a rock that's been in the fire for a while, so it's super hot, and then just lay it on there, and it would totally just grill it up really perfect without without burning.
I think somebody needs to go on the Survivor.
I
think
I'd go on Survivor if Chef Mark was going to be there.
Well, remember when they had that one guy Keith who was a chef?
Yeah. Would you eat octopus, Archer?
No, I wouldn't eat octopus. I'd eat Mark.
Oh, you're terrible.
You know, if you beat him on a rock, it'll tenderize him.
Yes.
Oh, you guys.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But remember they had a chef on a few years ago and he burnt the rice.
That's right.
And he blamed it on the tools. He was like, "Oh, but there's no decent tools here."
Right.
Well, did anything spectacular happen on Survivor that we should talk about?
I don't think so because I watched it and I don't remember anything about it. So that doesn't
just that interpersonal stuff.
What big
fan? Yeah, right.
Everything is getting so gay, both of the shows.
Oh, I know. Well, if you want
to pretty soon they're going to move them to Bravo.
I'm right. I mean, if they're in some bobo honking by the end of the season, I'm going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I hope it's JP.
Sarah, do you know what a bobo honking is?
I don't.
Ooh, definition time, big fatty.
Okay.
Well, you don't have a bobo, that's why.
Yeah. I can guess.
Okay, well, there you
go. Here's the thing.
Remember, they had a shed for it. They had a shed for it in Big Brother, remember?
Yes.
Right. Right. Very good.
The Jack Shack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my. But
and have we determined once and for all what that picture was on your show notes, Sarah, for the last show?
Yeah, apparently it's a butter knife.
No, it's not.
That's what I was
told.
It's
a big, giant chocolate
tripping
dildo.
It's a big, round butter knife with a head on it. I was dying. Did you see that thing?
Yeah, that was gross.
What? He posted a comment right after I posted
it. Oddly,
very serious, too, because he's a very serious person. He said, it was a butter knife.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trick photography there or something.
I don't know.
Okay, well then, since Survivor's not very exciting, let's talk about the big race.
The big run! The big run. Oh my god, I am totally in love with Mary now.
See?
Sarah, you've turned me to be totally in love with her. I want her to win all of it, everything.
One of you explain what you guys did. You sent out an email with all the different... Go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, we did a little thing to hopefully contribute to the Fatty Cast. That was the best lines of the week from the Hillbillies. And there were some doozies in this episode. I and especially the way Sarah pulled it out of the show, and it was so perfect the way that she edited it.
I didn't even do anything. It's because they edited so well with the music on the show. I just extracted it to my TiVo and pulled those sound clips out for him. And she's just a freaking riot.
Yeah,
she is, and she loves.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
And he goes,
excuse
and then,
me!
And
did
then
you
he
hit
goes,
that dog.
What did he say? They're coal. What did he say about the coal? This ain't no coal. Ours is hard. Theirs is mud.
Yeah. This coal isn't real or something like
this
that.
Coal ain't real. Ours is hard. Theirs is mud.
Oh. But and now, I also like that he was getting all sentimental about his dad and the war and having, you know, the first sort of glimpse of him being a person, and then Mary from the back seat is like, drive faster!
Yeah. Excuse me!
We're not
going
to lose because of you!
That's right.
Yeah.
Didn't come all this way.
But did you notice the look? He was looking at these people like he really was actually kind of scared. He thought that they were going to be hostile towards Americans.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so it's kind of it was kind of cool for him to see that. You know that over the last 15 years when things have opened up and Vietnamese have become very very warming and welcoming to Americans.
Well, I was just going to say that shows his lack of education about the changes in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think that it was such a great moment for him to sort of discover that hey, you know, these people were actually welcoming and they liked us. You know, they didn't hate us.
True. And interesting how you pointed out that only two people stopped and looked at the John McCain uniform.
Yeah, the first team and the last team. Yeah, the gays and the Korean boys.
Because, you know, the gays are so sensitive, you know.
Yeah, I just thought that was good. Because, it's true. I mean, this is the Hanoi Hilton. I mean, this is where a lot of American soldiers were tortured for years. I mean, didn't they say John McCain was there for 5 years?
Something like that.
Yeah, very... Very scary.
I felt sorry for the gays, too, when they totally forgot to not ride on their motorbikes and they got the 30-minute delay.
Oh, that was such drama.
These are a disaster, though.
Aren't
I mean,
they?
This pair, not as a people.
Thanks,
all of y'all.
Archer, you can edit that out and create some controversy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The gays are a disaster.
Those How much two, do we love though. Homophobes?
Right. Right. They just crack me up because sometimes I totally love them, and sometimes I just think, "Oh, boys, pull it together." They're just so nervous.
I think they're twitching. They're also relying a little too much on their gayness. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they think like just being out gay is going to make you seem fabulous to everyone.
Oh, they are so not fabulous.
No, they're not fabulous.
They're we should call them the only ordinary queers on the Amazing Race.
Very funny.
Not that. No. What do you mean? Ooh, I'm not saying that Archer and the boyfriend are not fabulous. In fact, they're very fabulous.
Well, oh no, but we like bill ourselves as ordinary.
That's what. That's my point. That's what I was saying. They're just ordinary.
Yeah.
Speaking of you and the boyfriend, Archer.
Yes.
How the fuck do you put up with that talking GPS system? Jesus Christ.
I think that's cute. What's her name? Susie?
Susie. Yeah, we call her Susie. That's the name of the voice that you can choose. There's lots of different voices you can choose. Actually, I've gotten used to it when we take our little winery trips. It doesn't bother me very much. But you can turn that voice off.
So. Which device do you have?
I have the TomTom
me
Go.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I have it as well.
It's the 910, something like that.
Oh, you have the fancy one. I have the 900. But you know what? It just died last week, and I'm devastated.
So, what, Sarah, yours is 10 less than Archer's or something?
Yes. Actually, but sadly, it probably cost more and does less because it was newer. It was, you know,
it was
the curse of being an early adopter
one.
Of technology.
Yeah. You know, the gays, they always find something that's going to cost less and have more.
And be just a little just a little more, 10 more
that's
inches there.
Right. Just 10 more.
Well, I love it. It gets us everywhere we're going.
I love it. Well, when I moved to California, you know, I had no idea where anything was. I kind of moved here on a whim, and when I bought my car, I budgeted in to get a nav system, and I bought the TomTom, and I'm completely dependent on it.
I can see how it would be very useful
kind of
in the Bay Area.
Well, yeah, and I also moved from a city which had, you know, a logical grid system. The city was actually engineered to be able to get around Chicago.
With
you
spokes,
know.
Too.
Yeah, well, here it's just, there are a couple of spokes, but the Bay Area is just a disaster. You know, like the gays on The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
It's really hard to figure out.
It was a real disaster in 1904.
Hey, everybody.
It was.
Yes, Mike.
Ramble Redhead says hi. I'm talking to him on the Gmail.
Should I add him in?
I think he's leaving or something. Oh, I offered for him to come in, but he says hi for everybody.
Okay, hi, Ramble.
So is this going to remain a very, very light episode, or are we going to talk about any current events?
Well, I was going to ask if we wanted to go into politics. I don't know if Big Fatty, are you into politics?
I'll listen.
Listen. Sarah will listen. Sarah doesn't talk politics much.
Sarah talks about
herself.
I was curious about people's take on this whole Amish school shooting thing.
Oh, that's so sad.
He killed the girls only?
Yeah.
He sent the boys and the teachers out. And kept
and the
girls.
Pregnant woman. Yeah, he kept the girls.
In an Amish school, one-room schoolhouse. What is he? He's trying to make a really bold. You know, everybody's going to say, "Really, an Amish school?"
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to make
thing,
a statement.
Though, I think they said he was from the neighboring town. He was a milk delivery truckie. Apparently, he's not. You know, he doesn't live his life as an Amish man, but he's from the neighboring town. So he obviously is very familiar with that area. And my. This is total conjecture at this point.
Yeah, but first, wait. First, he said that on the news that he was making a revenge from 20 years ago.
Right, and this is where my thing is. But he said he was righting a wrong or revenging on, you know, venging on something. And I'm thinking that, you know, that society, as bucolic as it seems, is very, very rigid about conformity. And, you know, unfortunately, it's very. I mean, they have a whole thing where they shun you if you break from the lifestyle at all, and maybe he had some kind of incident at the school when he was a kid, and you know it was a woman or a girl who shamed him or something. So now that's like festered in his mind all these years, and he was going to pay back by like getting back at these girls or something. Because it's just so odd that he would send the boys away and the adult women. You know,
why do we have to dissect everything? He's crazy.
Right.
Put him under the jail.
Yeah, but people.
Well, I mean,
as humans,
dead.
Just
want to
know why. People just want to know why. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there was a thing on TV tonight about the Amish community, and evidently when they turned 16, they let them loose.
Yes, for two years. Yeah.
You go out in the world, and you have the choice.
You can smoke, drink, and have sex.
But then the whole idea is that if you come back, then you never can do it ever again in your whole life.
And if you stay in the rest in the outside world, you're completely cut off.
Exactly.
From your family, everybody.
Except so it's sort from of the smoking, drinking, and sex.
But not with your family.
Sounds kind of like the Mormons.
Smoke, drink, or have sex with my family anyway.
Well, it's so funny you say about the Mormons. It is very similar in that it's, you know, it's a sect which harkens back to old ways of being and it's closed by definition, and everyone on the outside is seen as corrupting. So obviously there are big differences between very strict old style Mormons and the Amish, but in that regard I think that they're very similar. You know, it's saying if you have feelings that maybe don't conform, then they're bad and we're not going to talk about them ever. So I could see how that could really fester and create a lot of mental illness. You know?
Speaking of cults, do any of you guys listen to Mikey Pod on the Bayou?
Yeah, I haven't heard his latest show.
You know, he's in Western Georgia this camp thing, and it seems kind of weird. Does anybody have any opinion about that? I've been listening to his show.
What's the camp thing? Yeah, give us more details.
It's a commune. It's a commune. It's a work commune.
When it started, you had to give up all your possessions in order to get in. That's no longer a requirement. But it's I don't know how to explain it. It's like a hippie kind of thing. I'll go out and look for it.
And he is currently living there and podcasting from there?
Right.
Occasionally podcasting from there, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's living there for 3 months, and then he's going to move to New York. And so it's this, and it's based on, I mean, I guess there's a whole philosophy around it, and there was this guy who started it, and it's all about, you know, getting back to the earth and sharing and all of that. I don't really know much about it other than what I've heard him say about on the podcast, and I haven't heard the last couple where he's, you know, they're actually recorded there at the, you know.
Yeah,
the
they're very interesting. He has a spiritual advisor while he's there. The place is called Kuonanai or something like that.
Is it faith-based? I mean, is it affiliated with a...
Most people there are Christians, but they have a service every day, and then you go to your own church, you know, whatever church you want to go to on Sundays. But it's not really religious-based. It's more... I'm going to send you a link, and you can read up on it. It's very interesting, and you should listen to his podcast. You know, he's always been a sort of... you know, inward-looking, spiritual kind of person anyway, if you've ever listened to his show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't, but my first reaction is it sounds like a place where people might go to get away from something.
Mm-hmm. Could be. I mean, I guess, you know, there are a lot of those places where you can either, you know, you're either going to find something or you're going to escape something. And I think, you know, obviously each person's individual motive is gonna vary and be different.
I wonder if they serve...
What's the show called again?
It's Mikey Pod on the Bayou, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Mikey Pod. Or now it's just Mikey Pod because he's no longer
in Houston, right.
He moved away from Houston. He's going to be in Brooklyn.
I wonder if they serve ham there. I was trying to get a reaction.
Did you guys hear
Cajun ham?
Did any of you listen to Eat This Hot show?
Yes.
They were talking about doing a funeral for Madge and filling the dress with ham.
I did hear that.
I did, yeah.
I thought, well, Big Fatty could come and bring the ham.
Well, that's an interesting topic we can touch on. What are you, what do you think about Madge or Richard?
Richard.
Kind of, I don't even know if it's happened yet, but killing off Madge.
I think it's wonderful.
I think it's wonderful
from this perspective. From the perspective that it gives him the opportunity to branch out, create other characters, or just be himself for a while and really express himself. I think that, as he was saying, it's easy to get stuck in a character, and the character sort of dictates everything that your show becomes about.
Okay, but here's my question about that, though. If he was hired by Podshow based on his character of Madge, and now Madge is going away, does he keep his...
He created Yeast Radio outside of Madge.
I know that, but I'm saying in terms of his Podshow connection.
He owns his own production company within Podshow. And with the way they are is that they don't exercise any kind of control over anyone's podcast, over the content of anyone's podcast.
Well, I heard him say on the show that his listenership had flattened out, and I don't know if that means that they're tired of Madge or he's just not getting any new listeners.
It could be both. I mean,
did you say it had fattened out?
flattened out.
I don't think anything will change. It flattens out after a fat person sits on it.
You what?
I don't think anything will change with Richard and Madge. I mean, Madge was Richard. It was his opinions and his views. I mean, it might have been a few cunts thrown in and yeast and lesbian thrown in, you know, to make it look like she was a girl, but everybody understood who it was, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but the last few shows already, I can see that just there's something that's opened up in him that already is different from the way that the other ones. And let me tell you, it's interesting. I literally, the day before he announced that, I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to keep updating Yeast Radio anymore because it's a real downer. You know, it's not, you know, there's the time for it when it's this, you know, rageful Madge who's expressing something that no one else is expressing, but in a way it had kind of gotten played out, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I prefer to seek out stuff that's more positive based, you know, like How Much Do We Love, and things like that.
I guess my question really is having to do with the whole persona thing that they were talking about on Eat This Hot Show. It's like, do you need to really keep it up, and were your listeners there because of the persona, not necessarily because of you personally? You know, I don't know. I guess I'm just...
Well, it's sort of a vague line. I don't think it's a strong line that you can say, well, there, that's what that is, you know.
Well, for example,
maybe a little bit of both, and it differs according to the person.
Well, for example, Cheryl Murkowski obviously is a persona, and he has always been that, and people love, it seems like, listening to the podcast, people love Cheryl Murkowski. So what would he do? Just go to his normal person and lose all of his listeners? See, I don't understand the whole point of that, of losing Madge, I guess. I don't know.
Well, listen to the last Eat This Hot show. They really talked about it at length, and it was an interesting conversation that I'm sure, you know, would be interesting to hear people's, you know, other people's thoughts as it goes along. Because I was just quite refreshed. Like, as I said, I was with at the point myself where I said, you know, I think I'm just not that excited about listening to this every day anymore. But now, actually, it was just strange timing. Now I'm like, okay, well, now there might be something interesting to listen to on it.
Well, I'm going to keep listening no matter what happens, but I just find the whole change up interesting.
Yeah. What I found most interesting was Reagan had said that he seems to think that this queer podcasting community is the most vicious, the most negative and nasty infighting kind of group of any performance group that he's ever known or been associated with.
Well, if you ever have
look
firsthand,
at the ones that he's been associated with.
Well, but if you ever had firsthand viciousness with some of these podcasters, you'd understand it. Because
I get that, and I mean, I know. I mean, I believe I've heard them talk
I've
about it.
I've been there.
And I know. I get it. But it's. I found it interesting that he chose to you know, not to qualify that statement and say that, you know, that exists certainly, and that it, and the, I mean, he did certainly explain that it has a lot to do with the lack of accountability, and you know, you're just a voice behind a microphone, and no one knows who you are. So it's easy to do it that way, but I don't know. I just thought that, like, he didn't make a point to say actually there are quite a few queer podcasts out there that are very positive, that are very nurturing, and there really is a sense of positive community. And you know, you might dish a little, but it's not the overwhelming sense is not negative.
And it's my guess that he did not mention that because he doesn't listen to those shows.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, then that's,
you know, that's just my guess. Yeah. You know.
So I guess he's not hearing this.
No, I don't know.
Well, but you know who else reiterates so much of the exact same feelings about, you know, having to deal with horrible, vicious podcasters is Rob says it all the time about Sarah.
Yeah, a fucking bitch.
I know. She detaches that hip of hers and she smacks him with it.
I clobber him over the head. Got a femur imprint
hip,
on his skull.
You mean Mike?
That hip too. Oh. There are quite a few hips in the room.
No, her fake hip, not her real hip.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, now, Mike, as someone who summarizes podcasts every day, do you listen to Madge on a regular basis? And what do you think about the whole change?
Of course, I listen to Madge on a regular basis. I think that you can't have anything to do with podcasts at the level that we have to do with podcasts without listening to Madge every day. But like I said, I seriously don't think that it's going to change. I've known Madge since the very beginning, and it's always been Richard. If you follow his video, you know what was he in that video crap before he was into the podcasting.
Yeah, the video blogs or whatever.
Right, exactly. Insane films and stuff.
Yeah, I never even thought of Madge as anything but a dress on Richard. So I have a hard time understanding how it's going to affect anything at all. I don't think it'll affect his audience. I don't think it'll affect anything.
Well, the part that they talked about on this was that, and Reagan pointed this out. It said that there now that you know there's no when it's a character you can always step back and say, oh, that's the character. But when you say it, like if I, Mark DeFoya, say something, I have to stand by that, you know, and people can come and say, you said this on Archer's show on this date.
Oh yeah, and people say that in the comments.
I can't skirt it. I can't say, oh, that was my chef character. No, that was me. I was saying it.
Right.
So you think that she's going to be more reserved, or he'll be more reserved since he doesn't have a mask to hide behind?
No, but I think he will be more personally accountable, and therefore will think about what he says. And I mean, he was even saying that's what he was hoping to do.
Well, and
I don't know whether that will be the result, but I mean, it's certainly, you know, I think it's important to stand by what someone declares as their intention for who they want to be, and to respect that and to support it. And whether or not it actually happens, you know, you can't judge it after the fact and say, ah, well, look, you were lying. Well, obviously, no, it's not that someone was lying. It's just that was their intention. They may or may not have achieved it.
And he was already being more cautious with his cunts and so forth on the last two shows. So, you know.
Yeah.
Big Fatty, do you listen to Madge?
No.
Again, no, with hey. The nose.
And Sarah, what about you?
I don't know how you guys have time to listen to so many shows. I'm so behind on. I always feel bad because I'm always several episodes behind of everyone else's show. So I feel like I can never comment on the most recent stuff, even on your shows, let alone all the others.
Well,
I'm not a multitasker.
Someone has a life.
She doesn't even know exactly. She has a life. She doesn't even know that Archer has a boyfriend.
No, I did, because I have that last one, the last Archer show, sitting in my iTunes, so I knew that you were driving around a winery, but I haven't listened to it yet.
That's fine.
It's there. It's
to
there.
Answer your question, I load them up, and I listen while I'm cooking.
Sarah,
yeah. Day. See, I have a perfect thing for you. I can't do it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Podcastsoup.net, honey.
I read it. I do read it. That's how
there
I
you go. And you can be in on all the talk.
I well, now, do read it.
And I've been reading that lately. That you've been reporting on this newer one lately. What's the name of it?
Inside the Perimeter.
Yeah, Inside the Perimeter. I hadn't heard
of it. It's
Atlanta.
Is that
in thing. Atlanta?
It's Atlanta thing. Yeah.
You know I'm from Atlanta, right? Did we talk about?
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Me too.
I'm from Atlanta.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be on their show in mid-October, so I'm listening to their shows more and putting them on the thing and to flatter them, you know.
To butter them up and get them
right.
ready for the big kill.
They're a network, much like Rainbow to Pod Squad. They don't have anything to do with, Omar, the other O Show, is one of their affiliates, but so they're not specifically gay, and they deal with Atlanta issues. And they're very interesting. They went out to the Gay Pride in Atlanta and interviewed that guy that stands out there, you know, fags burn in hell and all that stuff.
Oh, God, that guy.
Oh, the famous guy, Fred Phelps?
No, not him.
Oh, but just Atlanta, some local redneck. Atlanta guy.
Right,
okay.
Right. But very interesting show. I mean, if you care about Atlanta, it's an interesting show, Sarah.
I do. Well, you know, I haven't lived there in a long time, but
they're in DeKalb County.
There. Yeah.
And so they're sort of that, you know, lesbian chic kind of people, I think.
Maybe I'll tell my parents about it. They enjoy the podcast.
Say, Sarah, speaking of you growing, I remember you were talking about this the other day. You're, you know, growing up in Atlanta, and you're Jewish, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see, there was a play a few years ago, and, oh,
the
God.
Last Night at Ballyhoo.
There you go, Last Night at Ballyhoo.
Yes, I saw it in New York, actually.
Isn't that a very interesting, because it's about exactly that, growing up Southern and growing up Jewish. And,
yeah,
and, what,
and we were part of that community at all. Well, my parents are, like, you know, New York, New Jersey Jews.
Okay.
So we're not part of, like, the Old South.
So you moved
thing.
There. Okay.
Yeah. We moved there. My parents moved there when I was a tot, as it were.
Okay.
So they don't
a tight or tot?
Yes. Of, how much do we love tater tots?
Oh, God, so much. That is on the list for future discussion on our show.
It's the only thing that I will actually go to Chick-fil-A for, even though, speaking of Atlanta.
I don't like the Chick-fil-A.
Well, I'm not into their whole, like, creepy religious thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
sort of avoid
creepy,
it.
But I don't really care.
Wait a minute, what's their creepy religious thing?
They don't open on Sunday.
Like, creepy
the guy
religion.
Is just, like, ultra-conservative, right-wing.
And they're very, very, like, it would be very difficult to work there and not be Christian.
I have friends that are not Latino.
Wait, 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 Mike, what?
Or not Mexican. Oh. In Atlanta, anyway.
Now, Big and Fatty, what did you say about...
said that I have friends that always want to go to Chick-fil-A on Sunday, and then they go, oh...
You can't go,
thanks,
no.
Thanks, Jesus.
And that brings us to the end of part one of More Chat with the Gang. Tune in tomorrow for the second part. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, boys and girls, bye. Usher Radio.